Game Night with Matt Perrault continues now on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Touchdown Tampa, 24-21. Now the Buccaneers are back to covering this 7-point line tonight. Atlanta, well, they thought they were going to have an easy one tonight, and they're not here on Monday Night Football. A guy who is a Falcon fan, who I'm sure is watching this game, and I appreciate him taking some time away from this fourth quarter, is Harry Lyles from SB Nation. He joins us here on the program. Harry, good evening. How are you?
Matt, you know you're one of my favorites when I come on to your show and the Falcons are playing.
Well, I appreciate that. And what is going on? Why is your team struggling tonight?
I mean, if you've watched, what is this, week 15, if you've watched the previous 13 games they played, I mean, this one's pretty self-explanatory. The Falcons tend to play down to the competition. We've had worse nights, right? I mean, you would know.
So. Oh, wow. Yes, I would know. It's true.
Yeah. We don't got to go there, though.
Let me ask you a big picture question about Jerry Richardson, who is the owner for the Carolina Panthers for now. Big investigation into his behavior, and his walking away present is going to be $2.5 billion. Am I wrong for feeling upset about that, that there's something that just doesn't sit right with me about a guy who can behave that way, and his punishment is $2.5 billion?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could say that is a punishment. And I think that's something that a lot of people are overlooking because he's about to get, you know, the full value for what his team is worth. That's not a punishment. I don't think the Shield necessarily cares about that, right? Because they don't have to forcibly remove him like the NBA had to do with Donald Sterling. If you really want to get into the nitty-gritty of it, that's kind of like a loss to Roger Goodell, because like that made Adam Silver look really good, right?
True.
I mean, like he did the one thing where it's like, all right, well, let's see what this guy's going to do. He's new to the NBA, and he forcibly removed Donald Sterling with seemingly no problem. So while Goodell's not going to have, you know, this nice triumphant victory like Silver did, which, I mean, you know, he could use any of those at this point, just because of how he's handled previous scandals. It's not great, but, you know, we're going to get rid of him. And it's unfortunate, but, there's really just nothing you could do about that. You know, it's one of those things where you just got to kind of, you know, take it and swallow it.
Do you agree with my assessment that the reason why he is getting out of the way is that we have just scratched the surface of what this guy really was doing, and that there's a lot more to come out if the league and or the media wants to go investigate it?
It's tough to speculate, and I don't necessarily want to do that because I don't feel like that's responsible. But at the same time, like, you know, I think this is one of those things where he's more than likely in such a bad spot where he is better off just kind of, you know, just going away as quietly as possible. So I really don't think he had any other option because, as you well know, all the other NFL owners are very much in it together. And that even means that they have to throw somebody like Roger Goodell underneath the bus. So if this is what he had to do and he's going to get his $2.5 billion or $3 billion or whatever they're going to sell the team for, then he'll do that.
Mm. It's funny because here we are now looking at people jumping up, raising their hands, saying, I want to own the team. We saw Diddy do it tonight, and then Colin Kaepernick jumped in. Wouldn't it be perfect? It'll never happen. But wouldn't it be perfect if Kaepernick somehow became part of a group that bought the Panthers?
That would be cool. But, I mean, you know, at this point, I mean, first off, the Diddy thing was laughable at best, I think.
Yeah.
It's very cool that Diddy wanted to suggest that, like, they were going to sign Colin Kaepernick. And Matt, you know just as good as I am that, like,
yeah,
I would love to see Colin Kaepernick on an NFL roster, but, I mean, like, Cam Newton's their quarterback.
Right.
I would much rather see Colin Kaepernick be a starter in this league because I think there's been, what, 58 quarterbacks that have started a game this year?
Yeah.
And he's better than, you know, more than three-quarters of them, so that's not realistic, but it's very funny that Diddy thought, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to tweet that, no, please, you know, let me buy the Panthers and stuff like this, and then tweet himself in a Panthers jersey and be like, yes, I should absolutely buy the team, even though I have no understanding of what their situation is. So, you know, it's a cute little joke and all that stuff like that, and we can laugh about it, but, like, this is not going to be a story, you know, come Friday.
Right. Harry Lyles, SB Nation, joining us here on Game Night. So, I hate it when coaches try to be, I don't know, coy is the wrong word, but try to be cute, I guess is a better word, for players that are superstars who are coming back. Jason Garrett, the coach of the Cowboys today, that he said he's unsure about how he will use Ezekiel Elliott coming up this week against the Seahawks. I mean, that might be the dumbest thing I've heard in a while out of a coach. You don't know how you're going to use Elliott. I mean, isn't it kind of self-explanatory how he's going to use Elliott?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more just of a tactic than anything. I mean, you've got arguably the most talented running back in the NFL. Apparently, he's been training down in, I think, Mexico City, they said it was, the past 6 weeks.
Cabo, so, I mean, yeah.
He's in shape. Like, he's not, you know, out of shape or anything like that. It's not like he had, like, a knee injury or an ankle injury or anything like that kept him from conditioning himself. So they know how they're going to use him. He's not that new to this, you know, offense or system like that. So that's anything of a tactical type thing, you know, hoping that, you know, the opposition is going to bite the bait. But that's just not going to happen, you know?
Yeah. All right. So, you know, I'm a Patriot guy, so you know where I come down last night, but where are you on the catch controversy that happened over the weekend in the Panthers game? There was a controversial catch. We've had some issues with the Vikings in the past, and then clearly last night with the Patriots and the Steelers with Jesse James. Where are you on the catch controversy?
I think you and I both know that probably should have been a catch. In terms of, like, okay, like, really, like, we're gonna say that guy didn't clearly have possession of that at some point. Have a knee down, have an elbow down, had possession of the ball, was over the goal line. Yes, did he lose possession once he hit the ground? Yeah, of course he did.
Then it's not a catch, then. Then it's not a catch. You answer your own question, then.
Hold on. We know that that's not a catch by the letter of the law, but is the letter of the law correct? Like, that should really not be a catch.
Yes, in my mind, that's not a catch. Whether the rule states it or not.
Matt.
Yes.
By the rule, that's not a catch.
In my eyes, it's not a catch.
It's not a catch. I agree with you. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying if Paul Richardson catches that against your team, if he catches that against your team, if the Seahawks catch that against your team, you're going to have a gripe with that. You're going to want them to change the rule.
No, because to me, in terms of he tried to make – it was all one play. So the knee down doesn't matter because it's the NFL. Knee down, it doesn't matter. Breaking of a plane doesn't matter because it's a catch – first before the plane ever comes into play, and he made it an all-in-one motion. He did not tuck the football. He did not make a football play, nor did he make two steps with the football tucked. It's all really self-explanatory. So, no, I don't believe he caught that football. Even if the rule was different, I would say he didn't catch that football.
I don't believe it's that simple. I think they're going to also look into that during the offseason. But
how do you do that?
Okay, so if he has the football, let's say he had the football at the 2 yard line, this man runs 98 yards and he crosses the plane by half a centimeter.
Right.
And he fumbles the ball. That's a touchdown, right?
Right, because he's a runner.
Okay, yes, exactly. So, but you're going to tell me that if he gets like one knee, two knees down, or an elbow and a knee, the ball crosses the plane, but then once he hits the ground, the ball comes out. You're telling me that shouldn't be a touchdown?
Was he running first?
No, he wasn't running first. But you're
then
also
no.
telling me that if,
no.
the, dog,
if
okay,
the ball moves,
the
then no.
If he's running, though,
right?
You're telling me that him being down that constitutes somewhat of a football move. So you're going to tell me that like that shouldn't be a catch? Like I understand
because the catch is the most important piece.
But understand though, the double standard is there because of player safety.
What do you mean by player safety?
Because they're trying to avoid these blindside hits and things like that. So that's why you have to make a football move for it to be a catch. And that's why also if a player does not make said football move, that's why a penalty flag is thrown. So the catch rule changes based on whether a player is already running, whether he has not
right.
already.
Oh, yes.
Like that. But,
absolutely. Right, right. That is very
but
true.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but
yes,
it was more to do with Calvin Johnson.
The rule was correct.
Right, but the reason why the rules have gotten the way they've gotten is yes, player safety comes into play, but more it's due to the fact that Calvin Johnson in 2010 and the controversy starting there and going from all the way up to Dez Bryant in the playoff game and now to what happened with Jesse James, we've had a constant evolving of this rule because people want to have it be correct. People want it to be right, and they want to survive the ground. That's the terminology no one's bringing up. You must survive
the
ground.
But those were also crap, too. Those were also bad calls, too. Especially the Dez one, I would argue, is worse than the Calvin Johnson.
I would agree with that. Because the ball didn't move. So I would agree with that. Yeah. I mean, because to me, when the ball moves, it's not a catch. If the ball hits the ground and the ball moves, it's not a catch. And I don't care what the terminology is, if you have not run with the football and made a football move, and like you mentioned, run 99 yards, if you're trying to make a catch going to the ground like James was, and you hit the ground and the ball spins, that's not a catch to me. You have to be able to secure the ball.
Right. The only thing that makes a difference to me is because it was over the goal line. The Falcons just won the game, Matt. I'm very happy.
That's what happened? Turnover?
The Falcons just won the game. Bucks missed a kick.
Oh, my gosh. A missed kick. How about that? Special teams.
I'm a happy guy now.
24-21, the win for the Falcons. They knock out the Packers. The Packers are eliminated from the postseason. And now Aaron Rodgers can go back to being whatever Aaron Rodgers wants to do for the next two games. Because being a quarterback probably wouldn't be very smart for him, given what happened. Hey, Ari, great stuff, my friend. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
Matt, we are one step closer to our Super Bowl rematch.
Let's do it. I'm all over it.
Let's go. Let's do it, man.
Very nice. That's Harry Lyles, SB Nation, joining us here on Game Night. Great to have it. So a missed kick. How about that? 24-21, the final. Man alive. Well, if you're a Bucs fan, it's kind of par for the course, right? And this, again, here's a late-game situation. I'm watching the replay right now. Late-game situation, five, 6 seconds left. They couldn't get deeper into the Falcon territory. The game should have gone to overtime. And, man, the Bucs have had a tough time with kickers. They really have had a tough time with kickers. Aguayo, remember they took Aguayo with a second-round pick, right? And had to cut him. So not a good situation for Tampa at all. They had another down. They could have clocked it again. They could have taken their time with this. Instead, they were rushing. Late game situation, man. Patrick Murray, his career long was 55 yards. It was a 54-yard attempt, and it was way wide. Well, not way wide, but wide right. Had the distance, it just didn't. He had to drive it, so it became kind of a screwball and ended up going wide right. I'm not sure it was high enough anyway. Maybe it would have been just high enough. But a 54-yard kick goes no good. Winston and the Bucs lose. Falcons do not cover, however. Which is significant for a variety of reasons, including the Westgate Super Contest, which I'll talk about a little bit later on in the program. So there you go with the win for Atlanta. And Packer fans are bummed out. They are done. Packers, I'm serious. Aaron Rodgers should not play the rest of the year. Next, Case of the Mondays, who had a rough weekend. A bunch of good stories to get to. Case of the Mondays. And an update and potentially a Falcon football player before we're done here tonight from their victorious locker room. It's Game Night.